What is up, boys and girls and everything in between? It's Bear with us. I'm Matt. She's Leah, coming to you live from the Slut Hut in Fort Lauderdale. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I am fan-freaking-tastic. I'm in Florida. It's sunny. It's beautiful. It's warm. There's things to do around here. I have my sister by my side. The only thing missing is my handsome man.
Well, I'm not missing being in Florida because it's nice here in Pittsburgh. The weather is lovely. I was able to go outside and ride my bike today. It makes me want to do things, but I do not do things alone. So I will just continue to sit here and stew in my own thoughts all day.
Why don't you do things alone?
I did do things alone. I did go for a bike ride, but I'm not going to like go eat or go do any of the things that I ordinarily do with you just by myself. You're the only person on earth who needs massaged 11 times a week.
Okay, I go for a massage on a weekly basis.
Like four times since you've gone to Fort Lauderdale. Every time I talk to you, I'm like, what are you doing? That's not
true. I treated my sister to a foot massage the other night. I treated her. So I was like, let's go together and get a little foot massage.
That's one.
And then today I got a full body massage.
That's two in 3 days.
Okay, so why are you mad about that?
I'm not mad. Who's mad?
You're very fired up. I think you need to relax. No.
You're fired up. You're over there in the Slut Hut on cloud nine in your little Zen palace with your glass
and
of
you're
wine.
Upset about
I'm pissed
being
off.
So happy.
One of us has been working all day doing
things. Oh, my poor man. One of us has been working all day. Oh, okay. You worked for a few hours this morning. Sure, I'll give you that. But why are you so mad at me? Because I'm living my
best
life.
I'm not mad at you.
You just said you were mad. You said I am mad because one of us has been working all day and one of us is zen. Maybe you need to get a little zen.
No, let me just, sit here by myself and find Zen. It's not working that way.
Baby, do you not have friends in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I do
not
have friends.
Family in Pittsburgh?
Sure do. Can't buy a beer anywhere. Don't want to go sit down and eat with anybody. Can't go stand at a bar yet. So I'm not going to hang out with people that I want to see for 15 minutes
for
3 hours.
Minutes? Wow. Okay. Well, you did get your bike fixed today, so I'm very proud of you for that. You went on a little bike ride. How amazing was it to just like be out and about and be one with the fresh air?
I mean, it wasn't that amazing. It was fine, but it wasn't anything close to Zen or mindfulness or anything of the sort.
It's been about a year. When's the last time I went for a bike ride?
It was in July. It was in the end of July because it came up on the app. At least the last bike ride I recorded was at the end of July.
It feels like so foreign because once we were talking about this yesterday, when it comes to like seasonal depression, it's a real f-ing thing in Pittsburgh. Cause I was telling you now that I'm here and I'm like just out and about and like, over by the water and out with my sister, I'm like, why do I feel like so alive? But being home in Pittsburgh through the winter was just f-ing miserable. And then you were like, yeah, seasonal depression, it's real. I like didn't really believe that it was a thing.
Well, it's a thing and it's hit and I'm miserable and I don't even have you here to keep me occupied. So I really have no interest in much of anything, but the weather is nice. I'm just freaking bored. I'm bored to death. I spent all day yesterday doing work stuff and then nothing. And then I did work stuff this morning and I tried to be active and I'm just freaking bored. I don't have anything exciting to talk to you about. I'm not looking forward to doing this today because I don't have any revolutionary thoughts that will be helpful for anybody. I'm just in a shitty mood.
Okay. Well, that's par for the course. That's you. I think the moral of the story here is you're miserable without me.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen you in what, 5 days now?
Saturday morning.
Right. And I don't do well by myself.
I know.
As much as I hate people, I need to be around people because otherwise I just get really bored.
So that's why I always feel so much pressure to like be with you all the time. Cause I feel like this duty to make sure you're always happy. So like, but sometimes a little time apart is a good thing. when you're apart, you get to miss each other. You get to like sometimes focus on things that you wouldn't be able to when you're together all the time.
Time apart is good for you. Time apart is bad for me because I am my own worst enemy. And you know this, and my mind goes crazy and I constantly think of worst case scenarios and it just puts me in a bad mood. And then I defend that by not engaging with you because I know that I'm going to be in a pissy mood and you're going to go, well, fine. I don't know why I even called you. So I just ignore
it. That's never happened.
No, yeah, it does. You're like, why? Well, fine. Okay. You're grumpy. Fine. Sorry. And then it's a cycle. So I don't engage with you. And I'm like, I'm just going to stick to myself and do my own thing. And it just gets very boring, very fast. I do not entertain myself very well. I don't play video games. I can't. The only shows I want to watch are the shows that we watch that I'm not allowed to watch because you're not here.
You can watch anything.
No, that's not true. If I started watching the episodes of The Office that we have.
Yeah, The Office is the only thing. So that's the only thing. Other than that, you can watch whatever the hell you want. I've called you 26 times today, checked on you a million times to make sure you're doing okay. I mean,
I'm not blaming you. I'm just stating the obvious. I don't do well being cooped up in my home all alone. I went outside, but it's not like I'm going to just talk to people on the street. And in this day and age, everyone f-ing sucks anyway. I don't want to talk to anybody on the street. So like maybe it's pandemic depression. Maybe it's seasonal depression. Maybe it's just life. I'm f-ing overwhelmed and I hate it. And I don't want to like do anything.
Like, I know how you are. I know how you can get, but I feel like a lot of times it's this like extreme pressure on me to always make sure you're okay. Always make sure you're entertained. Always make sure that you're cool. And in turn, I feel like I'm sacrificing my happiness. Cause I'm like, whatever.
You wouldn't want that.
Cause I feel guilty that I'm having some fun with my sister and just hanging out here because you're like, it's been however many days since we've been together, but like time apart is a good thing. The last time we were apart was like 6-7 weeks ago. And we literally spend all day, every day together. That's not healthy. So now it's like, okay, this little balance of being able to come here, be with Bree and do my thing. And I do miss you. But now you're grumpy like this. Shit.
You mentioned your sister, Bree, who you have mentioned many times on the show. And she is present because she lives in your home or you are staying in the home that she lives in, however you choose to phrase it. And you thought it would be a fun time to bring her on and grill her.
Yeah, I think it'll be great because, I mean, I think you two can really relate to each other and the misery that is hanging out with me and dealing with how fucking annoying I might be, which is probably like very rare. I know I'm not that annoying all the time. But yeah, just having to deal with me on a, you know, daily basis. There's no two people that know me better than you or my sister. So that would be fun to do that. And then, you know, she has, I think, some great relationship advice. She's in a relationship with an older man. They do long distance. So I think she could, you know, give the bear with us faithful some good advice.
That remains to be seen. We'll put her to the test.
Here she is. I feel like we need to enter a drum roll. The amazing, the infamous, the fantastic BJ.
Thank you for that.
My sister Bree. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Can't complain. Just got home from a long day at work.
Brianna is, can you give your, what you do?
Sure. So I oversee...
just tell them your title. Okay. Brianna tends to get long-winded.
Wait. No, I don't mean to step on you, Bree, but I'm going to for the fact that our dog is also enjoying the Florida sunshine and just popped his head into the screen. Yes. I don't even have Pancake to keep me company right now.
This is how bad it is.
What?
The amount of times you've texted me over the last few days saying, I want to walk Pancake, and you claim you hate him, yet all you want to do is walk him the last few days.
Well, I mean, I have to support his living habits and it's nice outside. And my instinct is to go outside and walk and do something with obviously no people. So the dog is the next best option.
He's been a real treat. Peeing everywhere, attacking me.
It's okay to admit it. He sucks. The dog sucks. He's not a good dog. He's not. He's sweet. I understand why Leah loves him. He can be lovable at times. Generally speaking, as dogs go, I give him like a 4 on a scale of 10.
I mean, I would maybe say like a 7.
That's very generous.
I see your perspective. I feel that way at times as well. And then when he's sweet, he's so sweet. But yeah, he's a little terror.
So anyway, what is it that you do for a living?
So I'm a nurse. my title is, I'm currently the interim director of nursing for our Peace Heart Institute and Children's Transplant Programs. So I'm not going to get into any details.
So you're a professional young woman, a successful professional young woman in the medical field.
Yes.
See, that's how we do things succinctly.
Exactly.
She's killing it. She's amazing. She inspires me every single day. But this is not about your nursing career. This is a relationship podcast. We're going to get into it. I thought it would be interesting to have both you and Matt on the podcast at the same time, because I don't think there's anyone that knows me better than the both of you. And if there's anyone that has to deal with my bullshit on a daily/weekly basis, it's the two of you. So,
yeah.
Before we parade you around so you can tell everyone about Leah, let's talk about Bree and your real life situation, your relationships. It is very unconventional, as seems to be a theme in your family. You are in a relationship with a significantly older man who lives on the other side of the country.
Yes.
So you really checked all the boxes as far as let's throw some wild cards into the relationship game.
Yes.
How did this come to be? I don't need the whole story about where you guys met and whatever, just for the sake of anonymity. I know that story. Leah knows that story. But how do you, doing what you do, you have a professional career. You have a very busy life. You are busy outside of it. You're into fitness and boxing and all sorts of manner of things. How, at this stage in your life, do you manage? Let's start with the age thing first. How do you deal with that?
It's challenging. I mean, I've definitely sort of had my reservations, you know, it's sort of the thought process is like, everything's great now, right? But what happens when he's in his 70s and I'm in my 50s, right? So those are definitely real challenges that we talk about very transparently and openly, and what that looks like for our future. And, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth, like, is this the right thing? Is it not? But at the end of the day, like, I can't imagine my life without him. So I can't really worry about 30 years from now. You know, I think that we're open with it. We are transparent about our feelings about it, but we still both, you know, have made the commitment and decision to move forward in our relationship, despite the social stigmas around it, maybe feelings, you know, from our family. I mean, family acceptance was definitely something that weighed heavy on me, you know? So knowing that you all are supportive, my parents are supportive, you know, and I think that's all that matters. And at the end of the day, he makes me so incredibly happy, more so than anyone that I've dated that's my own age. So I don't really think it's about the age. I think it's about the person.
Well, and you, I've known every guy you've ever dated, people you've been interested in, people that you were even considering, and to know that, like, he makes you happier than anyone that was our age or maybe younger or a little bit old, like, so who cares, right?
Yeah.
Who cares about the age? Because all that I know is that he treats you the way you should be treated. He treats you like a queen. Mm-hmm. And who cares about the age?
Exactly. You mentioned being worried about parental acceptance. Luckily, your sister set the bar pretty low when she brought me home for the very first time. What are some other challenges, if any, other than, as you mentioned, like societal stigmas that you guys have dealt with from the age range, if any at all?
I think it's just kind of what you mentioned, you know, the societal stigma around it, my parents and family acceptance. And then again, just the reality of realistically, what does our relationship look like with a significant gap 30 years down the line? You know what I mean?
For sure.
You know, we're going to be at different stages. I'm still going to be working. He's going to be retiring. You know, what does that look like? But I think we're both very faith-driven. And, you know, we were like, you know, if Christ is at the center of our relationship, you know, this is what feels good for us and we'll make it work. We're going to find a way and we're going to figure it out. And
But that's not to say that you haven't questioned it.
No, that's, times, yeah, you know, that's what I said earlier.
Like there have been times where you're like, am I making the right decision? And then they're like, okay, I don't think this is right because you were so worried about the age and worrying about what the future and what holds. Like. And then you finally were like, screw it. Who cares what, like, tomorrow's not guaranteed. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But all I know is this person, I love this man who treats me well. And that's all you can think about. You can't worry about the future so much because you never know. It's not guaranteed. Yeah, so
definitely.
I really admire your decision to do that. So
what are some of the most stark differences in dating somebody closer to your own age versus somebody significantly older?
So
let's focus on the positives here. Say we've I've never been with a guy who does this or, you know what I mean?
No, for sure. I mean, it's been a totally different experience. I mean, he knows who he is. He knows what he wants. The whole like courtship was just like a ridiculous experience. Like now granted, I think he definitely went out of his way to make sure that like I had the most incredible experiences, especially early on in our relationship. Like our first date was like a private tour of this Kentucky Derby farm, right? Like, so he went to that level. but I think it was just like, there was no games. He knew, he made it very clear that like he was interested in me. He made it very clear. Like he pursued me every single day. I told him, these are my expectations and this is what I'm looking for. And it was, I mean, he delivered. He was very clear. Like I said, no games, no nothing. It was just a totally different experience. I never questioned what was his going on or his interest. Right.
Was that a new experience being with a dude that it didn't play games? Because I feel like Leah and I had that conversation up front. Like we kind of... There were no real game, so to speak. It was kind of like, I dig you. If I want to hang out with you, I'm going to text you. I'm going to answer back your text. I'm not going to wait 3 days. I'm not going to string you along or, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So it was a refreshing perspective for you?
Oh, 100%. It was such a positive experience. And it was just, you know, I think incredible, especially here in South Florida. I mean, it's a lot of guys who still like the party life and the girls and, you know, that lifestyle, which is just doesn't jive well. I mean, we're from a small town, obviously our upbringing is very different, but that's very much the reality of South Florida. And I think that had been my experience, you know? So there was, like I said, no question. Totally makes you feel like secure and aware of like what's going on. Communication, like there was no text messaging. It was always a phone call. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it was a great, definitely an incredible.
That we have had a conversation about the last few days is he makes you want to be better.
Yes.
Like he encourages you to be better every single day. Is like, what are we working on that's going to make you better? Not that he doesn't think you're the best you can possibly be, but every day it's you both are challenging each other to say like, okay, this is what our goal was for this week. How do we meet that? What can we do for next week? He checks on it. Like, what did you eat today?
Yeah.
Are you getting enough nutrition? Are you
He's concerned about my health?
Yeah. He makes sure on a daily basis that you're taken care of. And to be able to do that from across the country and for you to feel that, like, that is incredible.
Yeah. Like you said, I mean, we're always talking to each other about like, not just short-term planning, but like long-term planning. Like what's our vision for the future? How are we going to be the best that we can be? What does this look like? You know, in all different aspects, you know, financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically, everything. So, overall, like I said, I can't say enough incredible things about the experience. He's truly.
Well, now I want to hear one bad thing. What's the one thing you fight about the most?
Well, I think to your point that you mentioned earlier, I guess it's a good segue into that, you know, like how did it come to be? So we're both very much driven. We both love to work a lot. And I think that's what makes this relationship, I think, so successful is because we are both very independent. Like I'm at the hospital anywhere from 10 to 14 hours a day. And if I'm not there, I'm doing things at home, working on it. And he's very much constantly working on his business, which that has been part of the challenge and things that there's opportunities to work on, right? Because learning for him to disconnect and spend quality time together, because while we're very much, I feel like we feel very connected every single day, despite living across the country, it's still challenging for when we're together to disconnect and really spend that quality time without working or the phone calls or, you know, doing all those things. So whether that's we set aside 5-6 hours and it's just us, you know, for the evening, and this is what we're going to do, and we're going to have our time. No one else is going to be there. We're not going to a work dinner or getting together with this person. It's just us. And I think that's something that we've definitely been working on. So I think it works. Yeah. It's what keeps our relationship going, but then it's also something that we need to make sure that we're dedicating time and attention to so that we don't continue to just live our separate lives.
So you're the opposite of your sister who just can't wait to get as far away from me as frequently as possible for as long as possible.
Oh my God. Oh no, that's not true. She literally talks about you all the time. Even when you're not together, we're constantly talking about
See,
you.
See, he doesn't believe that, but it's true.
It is.
It's important. Like, I don't know. Brianna and I are so close. You're my absolute best friend. And so for me to go 6 weeks without seeing her, it's difficult. Like there's nothing that can replace that bond for me in my life. And a girl needs her sister. So when I don't get that, I start to get cranky and I'm like, okay, I'm leaving. I need to go be with Bree for a couple of days. And I don't think that's too much to ask for.
No, I agree. It fills my cup. Like just having her is like, you get your dose.
And then
it's like, all right, see you later. Yeah. We continue to do our FaceTimes every day, but it's true. I think it's important.
You were a big, big, big advocate for me dating Matt.
Mm-hmm.
I was so fucking worried.
This is how not a catch I am. I need advocates fighting on my behalf. Not like, oh, this guy's awesome and great. You need to be with him. It's, well, I mean, look at the bright side.
He didn't even know you. All I knew is you're getting divorced. You have 3 kids. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's gorgeous. I've always thought he was cool. But like, I don't know if this is something I want to get involved in. Like, that it scared me. And Brianna was the one that was like, you know, you have to take a leap of faith and just fucking try it. The worst that's going to happen is you don't like him. So Brianna was the one, so we can thank her.
You're welcome. Basically take credit
for being really like, who cares if he's getting divorced? Who cares if he has 3 kids? You should go for it.
So you've obviously lived through being as close as you are. You've lived through many, many past relationships with your big sis. What, if anything, have you learned from watching her past failures or even successes? Are there any things that you've seen like, man, I crave that, or that's a goal of mine, or I'm never going to let that happen in my life?
I mean, it's a loaded question in a sense, because we've always been very different when it comes to our dating. Like I've always been very, very independent, like usually just like me, myself and I, where she's always typically been in a long-term committed like relationship. Yeah. Like that's just how it's been.
Despite what you think happens down here at the Slut Hut, I'm a relationship gal. I've never really been the type to when. Okay. How about this? Brianna, please
let me answer.
Okay.
Question.
Sorry. I just got really excited thinking about something. Go ahead. Answer the question. And then so, I have something.
What I was going to say is that what I can tell you from observing and being a part of all of her past relationships, this by far is the healthiest relationship I have ever seen her in. And I can tell you that I believe that this is the happiest I've ever seen her, which is incredible. I think she's shown like tremendous, at least personal growth, over the course of the last, you know, couple years. And, it's incredible to see because I've never seen her truly like happy, and not just like a fake happy, you know, like everything's great, you know, I'm in this relationship and life is great, you know, because part of me was sort of like envious of that because she always appeared to be so happy. But then when you start to peel the onion back a little bit and recognize that you really weren't necessarily fully fulfilled and were working through some things, you know, in your own personal and then relationship, you know, your relationships, I think that this is the most incredible relationship I've ever seen you in. And it does. It makes me really happy because I think you guys make a great pair. I'm trying to think of the word couple pair. You know, I think you
balance.
Have balance. Yeah. Thank you. And it makes me happy. That makes my heart full to see you how you are in your relationship together.
I appreciate that very much. Check your Venmo. The payment's there.
But I mean,
it's yeah. making me emotional, but it's true. I've been like, this is
She's got the wine. She's got the tears flowing. She's got the sister. We're like 75% to like through like the quintessential romantic comedy movie right now.
No, but it's true. Like, I feel like she is so spot on in past relationships. It's always about just like faking it and been pretending things are great. But like, I'm pretty sure Matt agrees. Like, we're kind of an open book. Like, we're not trying to hide that. We're not perfect. We do fight. We do go through shit, but we're always like willing to put in the work to make it better.
And then I think that other point to that, which I think is like awesome, is I think in your past relationships too, you always kind of lost yourself a little bit and did everything for the other person and kind of just conformed to who they were.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with you guys, you are doing the things like coming here and spending time for yourself and doing some of the things that make you, you, which I think is also part of a healthy, successful relationship. And that's something that I've never seen you do before either.
And that's, I think one of Matt and I's like biggest fights is me always being like, which I'm sure you don't understand why I get like this, babe, but it's like, I don't want to just be in Pittsburgh all the time. And like, I was like, had this big, like when we first moved there, like I was so worried. It's going to be your friends, your family, your life, your everything. Cause like to Bree's point, that's what I've always done in my past relationships, sort of like lose myself and my partner. And I was like, I'm not going to let that happen this time. And I think that's why our relationship is so good, because I have to put my foot down sometimes, but I'm like, no, like I'm going to do this and this is what makes me happy and I'm going to do it. And even though you might get annoyed with me, you understand why. Like eventually you're like, okay, sure, I get it. So I think that's what makes it so successful.
Well, you had a wonderful question that you couldn't wait to ask your sister.
This is what I do. I get it. Do I not get it from dad?
She does.
I interrupt. Oh really? Wait,
this, okay. So this is a discussion. This is an issue, if you will, that Leah and I discuss frequently. I always say I speak for a living and Leah interrupts for a living. It comes from your dad?
Yeah, and my meme. My meme and then my dad, for sure.
100%. Always.
My mom will listen to the end.
Always interrupts.
Yes.
But so I was going to say, I was single for what? Like 2 years after my last relationship before like dating Matt. Mm-hmm. And Matt likes to think that I'm like this big, like, oh, I like to go out and try to, you know, get so many dicks. But he thinks that I'm like this persona that he was like made up in his head. Can you please tell him about what it's like going out with me when I was single? Please explain to him. And for the Bear With Us listeners.
So I recall I drove up to Tampa one night and we were like, okay, let's just go out. So we go out to a bar and first of all, she's in a mood the whole time. Like I didn't even want to talk to her. Like I was like, man. And I think some guys like came up and they're like, hey, how's it going? And she literally turns to them and says, F off. And I was like, oh my gosh. So that went, that scenario pretty much like sums up every time we go out. And we don't even go out. Like our going out is like sitting on the living room floor and having a glass of wine and ordering takeout, and or we'll go to dinner, get one drink, and then go, we're like, should we go out? Yeah, let's do it. And then we get there. We're like, no, it's 8:30. It's time. Now
that's
to go
consistent.
Home.
That's a Leah-ism right there. Let's make plans.
But yeah. But that's what it's been consistently. But,
and then I will tell you that she did try like a dating app for a little bit. And she was like, oh, I'm going to try to go out. I'm like, so I try to encourage her, like, you know, you got to put yourself out there a little bit. And then she called me. She's like, I sat down, I ordered a drink, he said this, I went in the bathroom and I left. And I was like, you did what?
So he went into the bathroom and
she left.
Paid the bill and left because I felt bad.
That's typically how her single dating life went.
It's awful. Being single sucks. I hated it.
So yeah.
You know, I absolutely hated
definitely
it.
Definitely not a dater.
But here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Why I'm with you. I'm obsessed with you and I love you. When did you realize that Matt, there were so many conversations when Matt and I first started dating that you were like, he's perfect for you.
Yes.
When would you say was the,
I don't know if there was like a specific point in time that comes to my mind, like, yes, this is the moment or the conversation. But I think it was just like, you know, accumulation of stories as you told me more about him and your relationship and conversations you were having. I'm like, he is the perfect guy for you, because she is very like emotionally needy. And I don't know if that's the best descriptive word.
I feel like the emotionally needy one in this relationship.
But that's what I'm saying. And that's why it makes it so perfect.
So I came along as an even bigger train wreck and made everything better.
No, but because you are like in tune with your emotions and you will like verbalize them and communicate about them, I think that's what makes it work. Because I think in the past, none of her relationships like were like that, right? It was just be like her, like, you know, extending an olive branch and then there's nothing, you know what I mean? Whereas you guys, I think, connect in that sense so that her emotional cup gets filled. She feels secure and great. And I was like, this is incredible. It's a match made in heaven.
I feel like this is extremely effective couples therapy. I think you should look into a new career path. You're halfway there. You're already in the medical field. Just, you know, what's another 8 years of college? Not a big deal.
No big deal. Casual. So yeah, I think, you know, no specific point in time, but just hearing the stories then.
But I would tell her story. I'd be like, oh, Matt says this or Matt says that. Or like, I feel like I'm the one who's always like wanting to talk and chat. And then all of a sudden you come along and it's like, you're that to like the 10th degree. It's to meet someone like me, but even more emotional, even more needy, even more.
I prefer the term passionate, not needy.
Oh, but like available. Exactly. Passionate. Yeah.
So to meet someone like that, I'm like, now I'm the one being like, I feel like I'm the dude in the relationship sometimes, because I'm like, damn.
You feel like you're the giver instead of just always trying to get.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Wow. We're learning a lot about ourselves right now.
Week after week, we always talk about the tenets of our relationship being honesty, communication, and sex. Now that we've covered your non-conventional relationship, do you have anything to add to our list? What is the tenet that you and your significant other rely on or swear by? I know you mentioned your faith being very important.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, I think for us, we've really pushed each other to stay committed to our faith. And we talk about it daily, honestly. You know, what we're learning, what we're reading, how to apply it in our everyday lives. And I think for us, that's very important for the success of our relationship, that honesty and great communication.
There you go. That's definitely
interesting. Can we ask about the sex?
No.
I'm not my sister. I know.
I am not open like you.
You've got plenty of time for the next 5 days down at the slut. You guys can compare and contrast and exchange stories. I have to coexist with the man, so I don't want to know anything that might force me to look differently. You know,
no, we're not going to go there.
But you get along well with him. Would you say
I think he's great?
Would age be a thing that you would even think of when we hang out?
I think I particularly am at the age, and Leah, you're creeping up, where I think at this point it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like I'm a grown ass man with grown ass man problems. So at this point, it doesn't matter if you're 30, if you're 50, like if you got your shit together, I'm existing with you. You know what I mean? It's not a race or a comparison at this point. So, but I think the world of him, I am sort of, I don't know if envious is the word, but I'm interested in how you guys succeed as well as you do, because when you are together in the instances that I've been present, it's been awesome. It's been fun. I have a blast. You guys, you're always smiling and laughing.
Yeah.
He's fun to hang around. So I think it's from the outside, from, you know, two completely unqualified relationship experts, one of whom you are related to. I think you're doing a damn fine job.
Thank you.
Love that.
So much so. So much so, Brianna, that I am going to invite you to partake in the ceremonial opening of the official Bear With Us mailbag.
Okay.
Ready to sing along with me?
No.
Here's the mail, it never fails. Makes me want to wag my little tail.
No.
When it comes, I want to wail.
Mail.
Awful. Come
It was this entire episode was worth it just to witness that. That is all I needed in my life. That is all I wanted, was somebody to back me up, because Leah has totally, totally cornered the market on our listeners, and they all just agree with her, no matter how mistaken she may be.
Listen, Brianna knows that I have a wonderful singing voice.
Well, I'm sorry to disappoint them.
I'm unenthusiastic. I've been singing my whole life. I'm a professional. At this point, she's used to being serenaded by this lovely voice that sounds like a mix between Cher and Tina Turner. And I'm jealous of her to get to listen to me all the time.
Cher and Tina Turner.
That's how I would describe the sound of my voice.
Like, really?
If I could turn back time.
Did you notice like how she shook her boobs when she hit that first
note?
She
does that. She always was like, yeah.
Brianna, you can stick around for this so you can help answer it. Okay. Question number one, honey. So I've been with my husband for 10 years total. We have known each other for about 15 years. He had a child before we got together who is now 12. The mother has a husband who has also been in the picture about the same time as I have. We are constantly battling the whole father situation. The mom has the child call her husband dad, makes him go by his last name, and makes him call his real dad his real name. What? When he gets to our house, he doesn't want anything to do with me anymore because he says, my mom says I don't have to. She is constantly telling to ask us for things for her house, shoes, clothing, deodorant, money, etc. My husband pays her child support every week, then makes sure he has clothing and everything he needs at our house when he is here. Mind you, she doesn't work and has other children. Her husband does work. It's starting to get hard for myself as I had such a great relationship with the child up until the last few years when she started talking poorly about my household. Any advice on paying for things above and beyond child support and items for our house? I don't mind spending it for him to play sports, but it gets irritating with him asking for clothing items or necessities like shampoo and toothpaste. Also, any advice on how to deal with co-parenting? Court didn't help because we're in a state where the mom gets full custody regardless. Matt, how would you feel if your ex got a new husband and had your children call him dad?
This is... there's a lot to unpack
here.
I'm going to start at the top just because it's the freshest, is the child support alimony situation. I am all too familiar with the nightmare and headache that is involved in paying child support and alimony, all of those fun things that the government enforces. It sucks. As a dude, it sucks. There's no two ways about it. But child support standards are such that the state goes, what does this child require? And it varies. Everybody's economic situation is different. He's going to be likely to spend his money on his kids. Leah, you agree. You see, I don't spend money. I'm not a grandiose guy. I don't like fancy things or fancy clothes, but you better make damn sure that my kids are going to have the best of everything I can afford to give them. I think that's kind of human nature. The money thing, as much as it is a pain in the ass, you got to let that be handled in the courts. What you need to focus on is what you can control. And that's what the kids are exposed to when they're in your household. Knock on wood, Leah, I think you'll agree with me. Over the past year or so, my ex and I have gotten to a place where it's a lot less contentious. Do we agree on everything? Absolutely not. But we've made enough peace to where it's like, okay, co-parenting above all. That's what we talk about 100% of the time. We only really chat if it regards the kids. But that's so, hey, this happened at my house, just so you know, or hey, we're doing this at this house. You got to keep them on the same page as much as possible. It sucks that your guy's ex sounds a bit vindictive or perhaps lazy. I mean, obviously there's 2-3 sides to every story, but I think all you need to focus on is what you can control. And that is how your partner, husband, how his son is treated or child is treated when they're with you. Long story short, do the best you can with your man to make sure that when his kids are with you, the kid's well taken care of and happy. All the other stuff, either let the courts handle it or just don't sweat it. Because if she's being a pain in the ass, as the kid gets older, they're going to realize. And Leah is probably sick to death of hearing me say the phrase, playing the long game. But that's what I live by. What might piss me off today, what might piss me off a year from now, hopefully when the kids get old enough to know what made them who they are and who treated them the best and who took care of them. That's when you get your comeuppance or your high five back from your kids. Maybe not instantly.
You really have to realize it's not a competition. All you can do is treat the kids the best that they can be treated. All you can do is your best. It's not about, oh, well, they did this at mom's house, so when they come here, right, we have to do this. And right, we don't think like that. I mean, I can only speak from our experience. You know, you obviously pay child support. Does that mean I'm not going to buy your kids things? No, I buy your kids whatever they need. Sure. The other day, your daughter was saying that she didn't have sneakers. And I wasn't thinking, oh, well, I'm going to get her sneakers so I can be the better this. Or it's like, oh, I'll buy you some sneakers. Like, she didn't ask me, but I just wanted to do it. It's just about like,
keep your own house.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not anything. I mean, this woman is upset because she's saying that the kid is calling her. Yeah.
And I understand that. I want to get back to that. That to me as a man is super insulting. I would be willing to bet, having not met either of these people, she's pissed off. And it's one way of her getting back or maintaining some sort of control or power. And I'm not saying this happens in every divorce or every relationship that goes bad, but you kind of love to, I think everyone wants to have the last laugh. I look at it going, I'll get the last laugh in the long game, many moons down the road when I go, oh, I got a great relationship with all three of my kids, despite all the nonsense and headaches we went through. But the whole making the new guy dad officially.
Yeah, that's not
everybody's okay. Got their own business. To me, that sounds awful, but I would be willing to bet it's some harbored deep-seated anger that she's holding on to and trying to say, oh, hey, see, I turned him against you, which it's the worst thing you could possibly do to a kid in any scenario is try to turn them or make them think less of their family. But just focus on your own house, keep your own house, make sure that kid's taken care of the best that you and your man can possibly do under any circumstance, no matter who he calls what or which house he's staying at. Just make sure the kid's taken care of.
Question number two, honey. Brown, you can help weigh in on this one too. What is both of your favorite things to do together? And what do you guys just learn to tolerate doing as a couple?
I want to defer to Bree first on that. Let me give you first dibs on that.
Something we like to do together. I guess travel and like explore different things.
Yeah.
We like to do that together. Something we do just because I have to, I think, driving along to the business, like meetings, okay, perhaps maybe just because it's like a part of the,
what he has to do.
So,
or like business dinners.
Yeah. Like a business dinner or something. But then at the same time, like it's not always a bad thing.
Yeah.
But it's just part of it. So I guess,
it's just not your favorite. Yeah.
My favorite, but it's part of it.
Sure.
What would you say, Matt? What do you tolerate?
I would say I tolerate yoga.
Okay. When's the last time we've done that? Literally twice together.
I know there's not that many things that I have to tolerate. Like we talk about it on the show all the time. Our favorite thing is to just be lazy and sit on the couch and watch TV.
Yeah.
And I like going out. I love being able to show Leah off. So when we go out, I love when she gets dressed up and I feel like the coolest motherfucker in any room. Cause I'm like,
oh my God, yep,
she's with me. That's cool. But as far as like things that I'm not a fan of that I've learned to tolerate, I don't really think there's too many. I'm sure on a long enough timeline, if I dig deep enough and rack my brain, maybe while Leah answers, I'll think of something. But what's
I'm gonna keep this list short. I would say when I have to like watch scary movies with something like because your kids like watching. So this is where for me it's hard because Matt does these certain things with his kids. Mm-hmm. And it might not be like, but they're like, oh, this is so cool because this is what dad likes, right? And they watch it. And I'm sitting there like, I'd rather literally be doing anything in the world right now than watching John Wick or watching mm-hmm. a scary movie. I just don't like that stuff. I like a romantic comedy. I like my Bravo. Like, and that's it. I feel like I'm wasting my life when I'm watching something scary, but I'm out of luck when it's with his kids because they will do what dad says, basically, even if they don't like it, they'll do what dad says. Or I would say
my kids love John Wick, by the way.
I know.
I like it. I like John Wick.
I can't. It's just not for me. I don't want to see someone kill a dog. I just can't do it.
It's just the plot.
Well, this was so fun. I'm so happy to help you. You got me to cry. You got me to laugh.
Yeah, Brianna, you really brought the emotion out of your sister.
My sister makes me so emotional because I am just so obsessed with her. She's such an amazing, amazing, amazing human. She inspires me on a daily basis to want to be better, to try to be better, to try new things. She opens my eyes. She makes me a better person. Like, you are just my little, I just want to like put you in my pocket and
your little pocket,
take
right?
you
in your
everywhere pocket. I go. She's just the best.
Well, congratulations, Bree. You survived a full-blown episode of Bear With Us. How do you feel?
Incredible. It was great. Thank you so much for having me. It was awesome. Yeah.
Well, if you are listening to Bear With Us and feel like Brianna does, wherever you get your podcast, if you haven't already, sign up, subscribe, throw us some stars, throw us some comments, help spread the word of the greatest relationship podcast on earth that not that many people know about just yet. We appreciate you each and every week. We'll be back next week.
Don't forget to follow us. Give us a star or five.
I just said all of these things.
Subscribe, comment. Is that what you
literally
said?
Literally.
Oh. Refill the mailbag. BearWithUsPod@gmail.com. Did you say that too?
I didn't get that far.
Okay, I helped you out with that. All right. This is what happens. I just repeat what he says.
This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps. Goodbye forever.
Bear with us. So many dicks.